Hello, I'm Pastor Daniel Flukey from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Green, Iowa. Today is Sunday, August 15th, the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. It's good to be back with you this weekend after being gone last weekend. Sorry there wasn't a video for you, but thanks for coming back this week. Before we get started, there's some fun things coming up at St. Peter that I want to let you know about. Next weekend, Sunday the 22nd, we'll be doing a blessing of the backpacks for anyone who's going to school this year. And we will also be watching a video recap of our youth mission trip to Kansas City a few weeks ago. So if you come to church in person, bring your backpack and we'll have a tag for you to put on it. If you want a tag afterwards and you aren't able to bring your backpack, just let me know. I'm sure I'll have some extra ones. Then the next weekend on the 29th, we will be giving out Bibles to our third graders and starting Sunday school. So worship will remain at 9:30, followed by Sunday school. And a lot going on. Hope you can join us. For this week, I'm glad that you're here watching, and I pray that God will use this message this week to bless you today. I have two readings to share with you. First, from Proverbs 9. Wisdom has built her house, she has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her animals, she has mixed her wine, she has also set her table. She has sent out her servant girls, she calls from the highest places in town. You that are simple, turn in here. To those without sense, she says, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity, and live, and walk in the way of insight. And then from Ephesians chapter 5, Paul writes, be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I wonder, have you ever read the owner's manual for your car? Car manuals can be some of the most boring, repetitive documents in existence. Some of the warnings are just absolutely ridiculous. So it's easy to not need to open it unless you are trying to figure out what a warning light means. At least that's the case for me most of the time. But a couple weeks ago, before we went to Kansas City for that Luther League trip, I picked up our rental van, and it was a really nice van, 2021, only a few thousand miles, pretty much brand new, and it had some features I'd never had on a car before, some buttons I didn't know what they did. And so I actually read through most of the owner's manual, and I learned, in addition to learning that owner's manuals are really repetitive and boring, I learned that the car could do some cool things like automatic steering. It can help you stay in your lane. On the trip, I also discovered when you use that feature, it would beep at me to pay attention. I seemed to think that I'd taken my hands off the wheel whenever we were driving down a really long, straight stretch of highway. And there's a lot of really long, straight stretches of highway between Green, Iowa and Kansas City. But it was a neat feature that I wouldn't have known about unless I read the manual. Of course, knowing the features of the car doesn't do much good unless you, actually use them. I did read a few sections of the owner's manual from our minivan when we got it a couple years ago, and I learned about this great feature where instead of carrying the remote control clicker for your garage door with you everywhere you go, you can program the code into the car. You can just push a button on the visor and it'll send the right signal and open your garage door for you. And most days when I pull out of the garage, I think, that's a really convenient feature. I should try that. It's been, I think, 2 years and it still hasn't happened. I don't want to go too far with this comparison because the Bible is a lot more than just a bunch of instructions and rules. But this section in particular of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, it does work, I think, as a sort of owner's manual for how to live a Christian life. So today I want to look with you at some of the instructions Paul gives us here in chapter 5 on how to live a Christian life. And hopefully you'll agree that when we follow these instructions, life goes a lot smoother. So, Paul starts in verse 15 by telling us to be careful how we live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. Time, of course, is the most valuable thing, the most valuable resource any of us have. It's the only thing that we cannot buy more of or earn more of or replace. When it's gone, it's gone, and we don't know how much we have. So, with that in mind, what does it look like to make the most of your time? Well, I think it starts with paying attention to your life, to noticing the time. Paul says the days are evil, and that feels a little bit strong to me. But I do think the days are greedy. The world around us is greedy. Our culture is greedy. It's demanding. It wants to suck up our time. So much of the world we live in is built on grabbing your time, keeping you busy, entertaining you, doing whatever it takes to keep you from pausing and just being still. The success of websites and TV shows, and of course, really the only way I have to measure if anyone's watching this video, is to look at the time of engagement, how much time people have let it play for, how long marketers can control your eyeballs for. But making the most of your time, as Paul talks about it, does not mean being busier or taking on more things, doing more volunteering and more serving and more whatever else. I think it means being intentional about what you do. And maybe that means learning to say no to some things, occasionally just being still. Maybe it means taking a look at your calendar and checking to see if what's on there is what should be on there. This is a call to look at our lives and see if we're spending our time on what we ought to be, to see if what we're spending our time on lines up with who we are as God's children, to see if it is how we want to use the time we're given on earth. Paul continues then, "Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Do not be foolish. Easier said than done. In the passage from Proverbs, it talks about laying aside immaturity and instead focusing on seeking wisdom. It portrays wisdom as a person, a woman, inviting the foolish to come in and to learn. Maybe the most foolish thing that we can do, the opposite of wisdom, is to think that doesn't apply to me, to think that I know more than I really do, to think that we are self-sufficient, to pretend we have wisdom when we really don't. In fact, there's a word for exactly that delusion, sophomore. You know it from college or high school. It literally means wise fools. It's the people who've had 1 year of experience, 1 year of high school or 1 year of college, and now they think they know everything. Maybe you know people like that. Maybe that's been you sometimes. People who are foolish enough to think that they're being wise. And maybe we do understand how this world works. But Paul calls us as followers of Jesus to focus on understanding God's will, not following the world's wisdom. Now, God's will is obviously too big for us to grasp or fully understand. That's why God is God and we are not God. But in the instruction manual of the scriptures, we are given some guidance. We learn that God's will for us, God's general will for all of God's people, is to trust God, to put others before ourselves. Maybe a simple definition of maturity is to realize that you are not the center of the universe. You are not the most important person in the world. And so we know that our basic calling from God is always to love our neighbor, to act in whatever ways will benefit them as children of God. God's will for us is that we live according to God's rules, the way God created us to be, God's priorities as followers of Jesus. Acting that way is often foolish in the eyes of the world. The world doesn't understand why we would choose to give or to sacrifice or to put others before ourselves. Because again, the world tells you, you are the most important person in the world. The world does not comprehend the idea of following a Savior who would lay down his life for others. As Paul says elsewhere in 1 Corinthians, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, It is the power of God. God's foolishness is higher than human wisdom, wiser than human wisdom. And there is freedom in realizing that life is not all about you. Next in this passage, Paul gives us this fascinating comparison of being filled with the Holy Spirit to being drunk. I think that comparison gives us some picture of the freedom found in God, the freedom the Holy Spirit gives us when we realize we are set free from the judgments and restrictions of the world around us. But also, I think Paul is making a deliberate contrast here between the Holy Spirit and alcohol. Drinking alcohol is not inherently bad, but too often people look to things like alcohol or other drugs to try to find an escape from life, to try to find a high, to try to find meaning and purpose, trying to substitute for what God offers us, for what we should find in God. People try to use drugs and alcohol and other things in life to fill a hole that can only be filled by the Holy Spirit. Wisdom is recognizing joy and gratitude, peace, meaning in life all come from the Holy Spirit. Foolishness is when we look elsewhere for life, when we look to sources other than God and try to find true joy and peace that can only come from God. True wisdom is a gift from God offered to us by grace. It's not something that we earn or deserve, but receiving it means trusting in God, letting go of our own sophomoric foolishness, putting God first. Finally, Paul instructs us to give thanks to God at all times. The only way that we can do this, he says, is by being filled with the Holy Spirit, letting God fill you up, letting God, the Holy Spirit, the only one who can enable you to recognize God's wisdom, to see the blessings and provision God has given you. Letting the Holy Spirit stir up faith in you, that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit stirs up faith so that we can trust in God and recognize everything we have is a gift from God. So I wonder, what does it look like in your life to be careful how you live, to live wisely? What immaturity might God be calling you to lay aside so that you can walk in the way of insight and live according to God's wisdom? We've had a year and a half or so of disruption now from the pandemic, and it seems like we're continually moving towards a new normal. And perhaps as we get ready for a new school year, as we enter a new season, and whether or not you have kids, it's easy to see fall's rhythms of life are different than summer's rhythms of life. Perhaps this is a good time to pause and to evaluate, to see if you and God have your priorities in the right order. The line in the reading about making the most of our time as Christians reminds me of a line from a song by a band called Switchfoot. They sing, "This is your life. Are you who you want to be? This is your life. Are you who you want to be? And if not, what needs to change? God has claimed you. That's not in question. But what needs to change in your life to live as if that's true? What have we learned from this time of disruption? What have we gotten rid of that we've learned we don't need to get back, the normal we don't need to return to? What have we missed that ought to come back? For what shall we give thanks? What have we gotten rid of that we don't need back? How do we use well the time God has given us?" God gives us the manual on how to live. There's no cost. It's a gift. It comes through the Holy Spirit. We find it in Scripture. You have been claimed as a child of God. Jesus has given himself for you as the bread of life. The Holy Spirit is enabling you to respond, stirring up faith. So how then will you live? Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. And go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.